you know when you're gonna stop being depressed? You know when you're gonna start having authority to rebuke demons and to cut and cast down and cast out things and make things happen in your life and in your world? When you have the authority that comes to somebody that has repented.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Pittsburgh, I know you guys are very familiar with our church. When we were trying to acquire the building, there was a picture of that building here up on the screen, and everybody prayed. Your church actually sent a seed offering for us to be able to purchase that building. So, you know, you guys have been a part of all along everything that God is doing there. And Pastor Doug, I don't know, maybe at some point we'll be in jail together. So a lot of things are happening in our church. We have realized that the answer to everything that is going on in our world is not prayer. It's prayer and doing something. Yes. So, you know, God has been revealing that to the church at large, including us, the Hispanic church in Pittsburgh. And we are now, there is this thing called 40 Days of Life. So, you know, we want to be, for 40 days, we want to be praying in front of Planned Parenthood. And we want to be a part of that. Many churches are joining into that. We're the only Hispanic church that is going to be represented at that event. It starts next week and it ends in like November. So, and besides that, you know, we're just realizing that for God to do what He wants to do in all world in this world, we need to do something besides prayer. And so, you know, and that means that we have to rebalance our priorities, that we have to, with our time, with our money, with all, I mean, and even with what you think your life is about or the vision that you think you have, you may have to change that and realign that with God. And God usually pours out His vision into this world through the church, and He gives the vision to the church through the pastor. And so, you know, I mean, there is a lot of rebalancing that we have to do. And the more that I get a hold of that, I think God is really, when you are with God, He backs you up. And He takes responsibility for the life that is fully devoted to God, to Him. You know, so if you worry for the things, if you take care of doing the things that God wants you to do, He'll take care of the rest. You know, Jesus said it another way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you need or you worry about will be added unto you. I mean, you don't even have to look for it. It will be added. The last verse in the Psalm 23 says that, goodness and mercies will follow you. So that means that you're walking along with God, and as you are walking with Him, behind comes mercy, comes goodness, comes... I mean, you won't be able to hide from this thing. This is what God does. So, you know, and today we're talking about the fact that God is a God of covenant. Okay, listen to me. God is a God of covenant. Anytime God wants to make something happen in this world, He makes it happen through a person. And so He finds a person, He finds a group of people, and He makes a covenant with them. Now, put up the next screen, please. Now, let's define this. A covenant is a relationship between two parties based on faithfulness, loyalty, and love. Now, let me say this. God is a God of faithfulness. And that's very important to us because we need to know that He is there with us. Now, when you're walking in covenant with God, He is there with you. Faithfulness means this person is always there. He is never going to go missing. You can count on this person. Now, faithfulness is not enough because you know that you have faithful people in your life. Right? That faithfully are criticizing you, that faithfully are always there to be negative, that faithfully are always there to take you down. Now, God is faithful, but He's also loyal. You know what loyal means? Loyal means that He's always operating, always working with your best interest at heart. He always wants the best for you. That is who God is. And then love. Love is necessary because love covers a multitude of sins. So now, when you understand, listen, I can tell that a person is in covenant with God and understands the relationship based on faithfulness, loyalty, and love. When that person understands that so much to the point that they are fully committed to God, they trust God with everything, and they are obedient. Now, God is a God, listen, God made a covenant with Adam. God made a covenant with Noah. God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Israel at Sinai. God made a covenant with David. God made a, and all these covenants have their fulfillment in Christ. And that's where we live. We live under the covenant of Christ. Amen? But listen to me. Christ was fully committed, fully obedient to the Father. And so that's one thing that speaks numbers about a person that is walking with God in covenant. Now, somebody who is, when I began to think about this, I began to look at different people in the Bible and lives in the Bible. And so I came across Abraham. Abraham is a man that made a covenant with God. God made a covenant with him. So as a matter of fact, the way this really works is that God approaches you and he says, I want to make a covenant with you because he has something to give to you. So he says, if you pact with me, if you make a covenant with me, this is how things are going to work out. Sometimes we worked out a different way. And we think, I'm going to make a covenant with God. So God, if you do this, I'll do this for you. It's like, as if God is like, great, I needed somebody to help me out with that. I don't have anything. You know what I mean? I mean, you heal me. If you give me this job, if this happens, then I will go to church. You know, as if God needs something that you have to offer. Now, it is always the case that the greater king approaches the lesser vessel and says, if you become in covenant with me, you get my protection. You get my provision. I get to put my name on you. You know, but there are certain vows, certain things that have to happen in order for this stuff to work. And so I began to look at the life of Abraham. And so let's take a look at Genesis. I want to read a couple of verses in Genesis today. Genesis 12 first. I want to read verses 1 through 3 in Genesis. And I want to read it from my Bible first. And then I want to read it from what's on the screen. I want to read the Word of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the following. The Bible says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now listen, you know that God is getting ready to make a covenant with you when he says, leave. Leave behind what you are holding on to. Get, you know, I mean, listen, when God wants to do something with you, make a covenant with you, he'll like say, leave your family, leave your friends, leave everything, go to where I am going to show you. I'm not going to tell you that, but if you're obedient, I'm going to show you something. You know, I mean, God does this stuff all the time. He changes your name. He changes your personality. He changes your priorities. He changes your geographical situation. He just says, and to Abraham, he says, go, listen to me. God is trying to make a covenant with many of us, but we are not willing to leave. Yeah, that's right. To leave what? To leave certain things. Listen to me. God is not going to make things happen in your marriage until there are certain things that you leave behind. So, you know, you got to step out of where you are and go into where God wants you to go in order for God to put you in a position where he can make a covenant with you. Let me tell you something. You want to be in covenant with God. If you are not in covenant with God, you are in a very precarious position, actually. What God wants to do, he wants to take up a people to himself, and he wants to be their God so that they will be his people. And everything that's going to happen in this world is going to happen through that very people. Right. So now, Verse 2 says this. Verse 2 says, "And I will make you make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Here's the purpose. Listen to me. Everybody wants to be blessed. But let me tell you this. When God blesses somebody, it's with a purpose. That you may be a blessing. All right? It's very clear here. He did this with Abraham, and he will do it with you too. He's the same guy yesterday, today, and forever. He thinks the same way today. Verse 3 says, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse." Now notice this. He says, "I will bless those who bless you." So he expects many people to bless Abraham. And it is the case that when somebody blesses the man of God, or blesses or is with God, then maybe you have experienced this if you are walking with God. When you get blessed, everybody around you gets blessed. So you know, because you are walking with God. But now, listen to the next phrase. It says, "And him who dishonors you, I will curse." Him. So those who bless, him who dishonors. So he's expecting, in the negative sense, he's expecting few not to bless Abraham. So as a matter of fact, he says him individually. So he will curse individually the one who does not bless Abraham, but he will bless the many. And even if there is one that in your family that blesses God, then many, because of that one, many will be blessed. So now it says here, "I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." That's the end of verse 3. Now, if you look at the Bible with me, or maybe you... Let's look up on the screen. That's only verse 3. I think, do we have... Yeah, that's verse 1. Verse 2, listen to this. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you." Now, how many times in these three verses do we find the word bless? One time bless, and you will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Again, blessing number two times. Next verse. "I will bless," again, three times now. "I will bless those who bless you," four times. "And I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth," five times, blessed. So, you know, if in two verses the word bless or blessing or blessed are mentioned, I think that's a very important word. Now, here is what that word means in the Hebrew. That word blessing in the Hebrew means, do we have the definition up there? I think barak, there you go. So that word, the Hebrew root of that word is barak. And it means this, it means to give a benefit. That's a blessing. To bestow favor, to give it, bestow grace and mercy. It also means to cause someone to kneel or to cause someone to be humbled. It is as, listen, there is a connection between humbleness and blessing. My experience, and I think you will agree with this, is that most of the time, right before God gets ready to bless you, first, he will humble you. So there is a connection between blessing, being blessed, and being humbled. So God says to Abraham, "Abraham, leave everything behind. Your house, your friends." He's saying, you know, listen, you know how when you will be humbled? When you are out in the desert, not knowing where to go, with no friends. And this happens after you already had it all. So, you know, and that now you have nothing to lean on. And God says, "I got you where I want you." Now you are ready to be blessed, because you are leaning fully on me and not on any other things that you had, you know, back home. So you know, God will humble. So now there are two ways to be humbled. You humble yourself, or you're humbled by God. But you will be humbled if you want to be blessed. So you know, Abraham said, I'm going to take the route of humbling myself before God. And so that word is so important because he wants to bless us. And we need to understand there's a connection between being humbled and receiving the blessing. Now, when God blesses, he blesses with a purpose. And the Bible says here that he's about to make a covenant with Abraham. And he said, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. Now, let me tell you something. There is only one way in which the nations will be blessed. And it's going to be throughout. Listen, right now, there is a movement around the world. Nation against nation. And did you know that when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says he will put aside, he will divide the nations between sheep nations and goat nations. So, you know, there are nations that are sheep nations, and there are nations that are goat nations. And you know which one is which because of the way they treat Israel. There are nations that are goats. They want, you know, and goats and sheep. The goat is always trying to mess up the sheep, trying to take the place, pushing the sheep, you know, to the side, and trying to get, you know, seen by everybody. And so now, our job as the people of God is to be a blessing to the nations. So God. So here's what we see so far. First, God is going to humble us. Second, God is going to bless us. That blessing has a purpose. The purpose is to be a blessing to other nations, to the rest of the world. That is the way God. And it is in that process where you will find purpose. Let me tell you something. You live a boring life. You got nothing going on for yourself. You don't even know what the purpose of life is. You're not in covenant with God. You're not in covenant. You're not walking with God. You got nothing going on. I mean, but once you understand this, once you understand God wants to establish a relationship with you based on faithfulness, loyalty, and love, you will do whatever. Listen to me. Before God said God, before God asked the question, I already know the answer is yes. So, you know, and so when God sees a heart like that, so it is not like many of us do. Well, God, tell me what's going on, maybe what's going to come up, and I will put that on the table to consider my options. Your plan is just one of the many choices that I have for myself to consider, you know. And God says that, you know what, I don't play like that. It is me or nothing. It is 100%. You're going to trust me, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to make things happen to you, or we don't play together. I don't make covenants with people like that. So that's why he found Abraham. Abraham said, you know what? Leave it. Let's go. As a matter of fact, listen, if you read the chapter before this chapter 12, chapter 11, it says this. It says that Abraham's father had already left Ur for the land of Canaan. But he never got there. He never got there. I think it's like in the last three verses of the chapter before. He never got there. So now Abraham does get there, but he is fully devoted to God. He is fully obedient. Now, when God is speaking, based on this definition of blessing, when God is speaking to Abraham, you can see as God is saying, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. So, but if you're fully devoted to me, if you depend on me, if you will humble yourself, I will show you what it's like to have mercy on your life. And once you have mercy on your life, you will be able to give mercy to other people. I will show you what it's like to be forgiven, and then you will be able to forgive other people. I will show you what it's like to open doors, to have open doors, and you will be able to open doors to other people. And so that is exactly the way God works. Now, Isaiah Isaiah 49:6 says, it says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Listen to me. He says to me, it's not enough for me to save you. It's not enough for me to bless you. I want to use you as a blessing to the Gentiles. I want you to be the light of the world. I want my salvation to reach the ends of the earth through you. Through you. See, this is what God does when he pacts with people. Now, the next one. In Zechariah, he says, and it shall come to pass. Listen to me. It shall come. Listen, not maybe it will pass. We're hoping it will. It shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations. Listen to me. This is what he does. He takes somebody that used to be a curse. Somebody that used to be the worst of society. Messing everything up for everybody. And then he says, you know, you were a curse to the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel. So I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Listen, God is going to save us. He's going to save his, he's saving his church. He's gathering his people. And here is the purpose. So that you will be a blessing. So do not fear. Let your hands be strong. Hallelujah. Listen to me. And if there is a church where people have so many, I was just sitting there listening to those announcements, man. He said, do you understand how blessed you are to have all those opportunities to be a blessing? Listen, man, there are churches that are doing nothing. All they do is they have the little prayer meetings, they have their breakfast, and they do nothing else. It's like a social club. And let me tell you something. Living Hope, man, you guys are rocking this world for Jesus. So, you know, don't be surprised. Listen, amazing things happen to you and to yours when you are walking with God and when you are, you know, being a blessing to the nations, being a blessing to those around you. Hallelujah. In a few moments, we're going to read, and this is not on the screen. You're going to have to read it for yourselves in your Bible. Wow, man. In Genesis 17. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. Genesis 17. Now, another way of saying that God is making a covenant with you're in covenant with God, is this: walking with God. You know who walked with God? Adam walked with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. So when you look at those lives, what do they look like? Now, walking with God, you know what? Listen, God wants to bring his government upon this earth through his people. To Adam, he said, Adam, I made everything and I am the owner of this. It belongs to me, but I give it to you to be the manager. You run this world. Look at that thing. What do you want to call it? Cocoa Drive? That's the name, because you say so. You know, just take care of this. It's all yours. You run. Listen to me. And he did a great job for as long as he walked with God. The Bible says that's why it was a daily thing for them. Every day they walked together in the garden. And it is from that connection, from that closeness, that Adam understands God's word and God's will so well that when Adam speaks, God speaks. He knows exactly what God would do. He knows exactly what God would say. And he does the same thing with every leader that he raises and with every church that he uses. He did that with Adam. He did that. Now, listen. There are a couple of phrases in the Bible. One says, walk with God. The other one says, the one that we're about to read, says, walk before God. It's a different phrase. Let's open Genesis 17. Read those couple of verses. 1 and 2. It says, when Abram was 99 years old. Wow, 99 years old. That's a long time. As a matter of fact, listen. You know how old Abraham was in chapter 12? He was like 70. It's like 30. It's a long time goes by. And then God speaks to him again. And at this point, he's got no kids yet. Nothing. He's just testing Abraham to see if he is worth it of somebody trusting with so much authority, with so much power, making a covenant with him. A long time goes by. Now it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Now listen to that phrase. Walk before me. Adam walks with God, and there are other many people in the Bible that walk with God, but to Abraham he says, walk before me. Before me means, walking before God means like what John the Baptist did. He came before Jesus came. He makes a path. He makes a way. So, you know, and behind him comes God. But walking before means I'm going ahead. And behind me comes God. But because I am going ahead of God, before God, people already know what God is going to say. People already know what God thinks. People already know what God wants to do. Because I already spent time with God, walking with God, now I can walk before God and represent him. And when I speak, God speaks. And when I proclaim something, it's done. Because it comes from the intimacy. It comes from having that close connection, walking with God, and now I can walk before God. And so wherever I walk, right behind me, I say something, boom, the next day it happens. You know, or whatever, or I bind something, that thing is bound. I lose something, that thing is loose. You know, we tear down whatever stronghold it is, it's torn down. But it comes because God already had it in mind. It was just proclaimed by the person that's walking before God because that person was already walking with God. And so it's very important to God. He says, Abraham, walk before me and be blameless, the Bible says. You know what? It's very important to be blameless. Listen to me. I understand this imperfect world is very hard. You know, we're all sinful people. But let me tell you something. If you say, the biggest problem that we have, pastors, is this. That there are certain people that call themselves Christian that say they're walking with God and they're going before God just to mess everything up because of the way they live. And so, you know, so God cannot come behind them and finish the work and do the work because somebody already went ahead of God saying, you know, I'm a Christian, and their lives reflect nothing of the God that we are supposed to proclaim. And so it becomes more difficult because now we have to clean up their act. And we have to say, you know, well, you know, there are some people that call themselves Christian, but they really, that's not what we preach in our church. That's not what we say. You know, this is not, so it says there, walk before me and be blameless. So what does it mean to walk with God? What does it look like? So, you know, I was talking to some people in my church, and they said, well, you know, let me just say what it looks like. Here's the things that I observed in a person. Number one, Romans 10:9 says that you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have believed in your heart that he was raised, that God raised him from the dead. So, you know, there has been a confession. Walking with God means that it's not just a confession. People are also baptized. You get baptized. You go under the water, you come out of the water. I mean, all this thing tells me, you know, you are walking with God and before God. And so some people at some point in our church wanted to get baptized. And I said, you know, let me explain something to you. Listen, we all know we're praying for you, and I'm glad that you're here in the church. Praise God. Listen, this is the best place for you to be. But do you think that when you're getting baptized, you're saying, I'm walking before God, I'm going to walk with the Lord, I am going to live in righteousness and justice and holiness before the Lord. So he baptized you, you say that before people, and then that night, you're going to go back home to sleep with a woman that is not your wife. Do you think that's right? So no. Well, but you guys want to get married or not? So yeah, okay. Yeah. So you know, and then, oh, but you know, we don't have money, we don't have this, we have to throw this big party. Forget about the party, okay? You know, this is no, you're not doing this to entertain this. These people are never gonna be happy with the party anyway. You spend all this money, you know, and they're gonna criticize everything you're doing, you know. So like you know, why don't we just, you know, do a potluck here in the church, get you married, and then the next week you get baptized. Hallelujah. Then you get married, and you know, we just go down to the town hall. You know, it's only like $70 to get the license. You know, I'll get the thing, you know, I'll help you out. And then after that, you know, you can go home after the baptism and sleep with your wife. Hallelujah. So that is walking before God. So you know, you do that. What other things have I seen of people that really need to are walking before God? They if they have kids, they dedicate their kids. We don't baptize kids because they are going to make their own decision. But we do commit before God and the church that they should be raised in the ways of God. And so that we call a baby dedication. We do a baby dedication. People that walk before God tithe and give offerings. That is what people that walk before God do. So, you know, people that walk before God are constantly trying to witness, do evangelism. They don't stay in the church. They go out of the church. They go to, you know, in our world, that what they do is what the opportunities that we're giving you. That's what people that walk before God do. People that walk before God go on missions. They plant churches in other countries. You know, people that walk before God, like Abraham, they leave stuff behind. Listen to me. I left the whatever, you know, soccer club or the whatever game that you know. I am walking before God, and I am going to make whatever sacrifices are necessary. So, you know, and listen to me. And when you walk before God, everything that you thought you needed becomes like, I don't need that. And everything you didn't know you needed, God will add onto your life. Without you not even asking, without you not even asking, you know, this thing will come. Like the other day, I was reading the time that Abraham obeyed God to the point that he was willing to offer a sacrifice, to sacrifice Isaac. And you know, I thought, I don't think this is a coincidence. That Psalm 23 says that your mercy, your goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And that if I walk before God, that means that God is behind me, following me. And that when Abraham was ready to offer the sacrifice, where was the provision for that sacrifice? The Bible says that Abraham turned back, and behind him was the ram. It wasn't to the side. It wasn't in front of him. It was behind him. He was being obedient, and right behind him was the provision followed him. This is a man that is fully committed. This is a man that is willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to keep that relationship with God. A covenant is a relationship based on faithfulness, loyalty, and love. And he said, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Now you know what the problem is? The problem with many of us that don't want that. Listen, everybody wants to walk in covenant with God because they figure that's a great proposition, man, to be blessed like that, man, to be used of God like that. But here is the one area that gets in the way, we are not willing to repent. Now listen, there is a word for repentance in the Old Testament. There is a word for repentance in the New Testament. The word for repentance in the Old Testament speaks about a change of mind. It's a change of heart. When the word repentance is used in the Old Testament, it's somebody changing his opinion about something. I thought it was good. Now I don't think it's good so much. I am changing. I am repenting. In the New Testament, the word is different. The word has the connotation of a change of direction. I was walking this way. Now I'm walking that way. So if you put the two concepts together, the one from the Old Testament, the one from the New Testament, you get this definition of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is when somebody makes a decision followed by an action. That's what it means. Repentance is a decision towards God followed by an action. That's what repentance is. So, you know, and many times we are not willing to make the decision and follow it by an action so that we can make a covenant in the direction that God wants us to go. Now, a lot of people say, you know, I don't have enough faith. I don't believe. I don't got this in me. Now, I want to read, or is it on the screen? Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Now listen, let's read this. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. This is a big eye-opening passage here. Read this. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. These are the basics, folks. It says, at one point you have to stop talking about the basic things. You gotta go on to more mature things. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. What is the foundation? What is the basic? The basic. Listen to this. It says, repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Next slide. Of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now go to the former slide. Now, I want you to notice this. It says that the foundation is first repentance, then faith. What comes first? Repentance. If you repent, you will have more faith. Now, this is a big idea. I want to show you this, you know, a few more scriptures in a few moments. But it says that this is the foundation. Now, in so many places in the Bible, it says that repentance must come before faith. If you say, I don't have enough, somebody says, I don't have enough faith, this marriage is going to work. No, it's not that you don't have enough faith, it's that you haven't repented. I don't have enough faith that my finances are going to get fixed. No, it's not that you don't have enough faith, it's that you haven't repented. Come on. Listen, I want to check this out. Look, now, next slide. Verse 3 ends this way. It says, and this we will do if God permits. If God permits, why wouldn't God permit? Well, we said that the foundation starts with repentance. Now, let's say, glory to God, we get a big plot of land. We're getting ready to build a church that is 10 times the size of this church. We got just the land. What is the first thing that you do? You build the foundation. Now, you also have to go to City Hall and get a permit. Once the foundation is done, this guy is going to come and inspect it. He's going to give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. So if he determines that the foundation is not properly laid, what's going to happen to your construction project? He said, you have to redo everything again. tear it all up, start over. We are not going to build a building on top of this foundation. It's going to fall apart. It's going to kill people. Now, God does the same thing. He looks at a life and he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you, but you know, you're not there yet. You haven't even repented. You haven't made the changes in your life necessary to walk blameless before me. So we have to start over. So, and you wonder, why am I walking in circles? Why not making any progress? I mean, after a few years walking with God, you know, I should have a 3 or 4 story building. You have something, a little ministry or something. You know what I mean? My family should be better. I don't have any faith anymore. My faith is down the dumps. Listen, the Bible says this, that whenever God doesn't see the foundation properly laid, and there is the progression there. The progression starts all with repentance, and if you read the last part of verse 2, it ends in judgment. So all the way from repentance to the very day when you're going to stand before God to be judged, you know, that's the foundation, the platform on which you live your you build your Christian life. But God says it all starts with repentance. Now that's what Hebrews says. But now check out what the Bible says in Mark. Listen, do you know what was the first message Jesus? This is the first message, man. This is the first message Jesus ever preached. Listen to this message. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Here's what Jesus preached. And saying, the time is fulfilled of the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Do you see? Repent first and believe. And some people say, I don't believe. I don't believe this is going to work out. I don't believe, you know, we want to do this. I don't believe in, you know, that cow or whatever they're talking to me about. You know, I don't believe. Listen, the problem is that you don't believe. The problem is that you haven't repented. So if you repent, you will believe. So, you know, listen, if you repent, listen, you know that you're going to be, God is going to break the back of that thing on your life. And you're going to walk out free the day that you repent. Amen. And you make up your mind to start making decisions followed by an action. And then at that point, you start walking before God. And the goodness and love of God, the provision of God will follow you everywhere you go. This is all, that was not just the first message Jesus preached. Do you know what the last message Jesus preached was? What was the last word, the last message he preached? Put it up on the screen. Luke 24, this is the last thing then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, what is the biggest thing in Christ's mind before he goes up to heaven, he ascends? He says, repent. That's what we have to preach. We have to preach that you will change. Listen, you know when you're going to stop being depressed? You know when you're gonna start having authority to rebuke demons and to cut and cast down and cast out things and make things happen in your life and in your world when you have the authority that comes to somebody that has repented.
Yeah, that's right.
You know when you change when you walk with that high moral power and spiritual power that comes from walking before God because you have made a decision. Followed by an action, you have repented. Now you are speaking with power. You have authority in Jesus Christ. Things begin to happen in your world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, in the book of Acts, do we have another slide? In Acts 17, says truly these times of ignorance of God overlooked, but now command all men everywhere to repent. It says, there was a time when, because you were ignorant, he overlooked it. And God is willing to overlook your ignorance if you repent. So, you know, at that point, you will be like, all right, listen, it's not very hard. I know it sounds harsh, sounds mean, repent. Wow, what is this guy talking about? It's so mean. Huh? You know, but all it means is that you have to make up your mind to change your life. Make up your mind. Like, you know, a lot of people say, I don't have the willpower. I don't have this, blah, blah. You know, listen, make up your mind to change and take steps towards the right direction. And then God will say, this one I will use. This one, I want to pour out. Listen, I've seen it this way. When people are so determined to serve God with everything they have, God showers you with everything he has. And all the problems that you have will go away. And you will also, and you yourself will become the solution to many problems in this world. That is just the way God works. That is just the way God works. So, you know, now, I'm gonna read a psalm, Psalm 67. But I want to pray. I want to pray. Listen to me. You are here today and you say, I don't think I am walking before God because I have not humbled myself. I have not, there's so many areas. Listen, how do you know that you haven't repented? You are still walking around in circles. God, you haven't repented because God himself, wow. God doesn't permit. That's what the Bible says. In Hebrews 6:3. If God permits, but for you, you look at your life and you say, God hasn't permitted. God hasn't permitted my healing. God hasn't permitted the fixing of my marriage. God hasn't permitted that I get out of this stinking death. I mean, a debt. Sorry. debt. All right, you're still paying the credit card. You have the master, but there's no Jesus. It's MasterCard. You know, so you still serve with MasterCard, you know, and not Jesus. So, you know, that's why, you know, you only come to church once a month because you have to work the other three Sundays to pay your master. So if you find yourself in that situation, walking around circles, why not make a decision today and say, I am going to break with this thing. I am going to start walking with God so I can walk before God. Today is the day I am going to be set free. Hallelujah. Glory to Christ. I want to pray for people that want that in their lives. And so I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask my keyboard player friend to come and play the keyboard here. Glory to God. And we're going to close this service, man. It's going to be powerful here. I believe that God is going to give us some great words of prophecy, revelation, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to Christ. Praise Jesus. Glory to the name of God. Glory to the name of God. You come, you say, I want this God. You start talking to him right now. I want this, Lord. I want to be anointed. I want to break free. Hallelujah. With your mouth, listen to me. There is authority in your words. When you speak, listen, the word is spirit. When you speak, listen, before this happens on this earth, it has to happen first in the heavenlies. When you release it, when you speak it, hallelujah, glory to Christ, glory to Christ, glory to God, praise the Lord Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. We want to start praying here, hallelujah. Listen, and if you need to just talk to God right now and say, Lord God, today I changed my mind. Today I say no more of this business in my life. Hallelujah. Cut it out in the name of Jesus.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you and your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.